Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Extreme Prayer, with the lesson titled, Draw the Circle. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
I want to introduce a thought for the year 2019 today. 2019, what is it that I see that's coming up? And to begin with, I see that we are going to be given the opportunity. And there again, I hate to use this word, but until the English language gives me a better one, I'll use this one. I think God's wanting us to go to another level. He's wanting us to ramp it up a little, to take it. And now here's the deal. A lot of you are so tired. A lot of you are so tired that you're not going to want to hear the message I've got. So let's get that now out of the way. Say, I'm sorry, Alan. You're forgiven. So I want you just to forget that you're tired, or just forget that, Alan, I have spiritually heard it all. I don't need to hear anymore. I understand all those things. It doesn't make any difference. We still got to milk cows. I don't care how tired you are, you got to get up in the morning to milk. Come on. I don't care how sick of it you are, you got to get up in the morning to milk. There's some things we do because this is what we do. So as believers, we're here today. Next year's 2019, new year ahead of us. You can say, well, Alan, I'm tired, and all of these excuses and all, I understand all that, but here's the good news. Let's just leave it in 2018. Come on. Just go into 2019. And let's see the hand of God move in a mighty way. Now here's what I want to ask you. Can you see that picture? How many would love to do that? Have no interest in doing that. There's one or two here that's either done it or still want to do it. Let's go for this one. Anybody want to do that one? I know I got a few takers in here. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there. Okay. If you put one word to both of those pictures, just one word, what would you call it? Wow. Okay, let's go with one more. How about that one? Definitely crazy. These are actually called extreme sports. Now, in other words, you say, well, Alan, how do you win in this game of this sport? It means you still live. You lose, you're dead. So you only get to feel victory in these extreme sports. How about this one? That's Grandma. I think she was 84, 85. Doing an extreme sport. Here's where we're headed. These are the whole world, everybody's trying to be more extreme in everything that they do. And they're wanting us Christians to settle down. Ain't gonna work. The whole world's wanting to be extreme. Extreme sports, extreme this, extreme sexuality, extreme gender, extreme. You just name the extreme. From grandma jumping out of an airplane. Everything's extreme. But now there's one thing about these extremes. You're never too old to go extreme. So if you think you're too old to go extreme, the answer is no. That lady has defied all of those ideas. There's something in man that pushes us to climb higher, drive faster, and push the boundaries of life. There's just something in us that wants to go extreme. Now, extreme doesn't necessarily mean bad, because God's into it a little bit. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He said, go extreme one way or the other. Just do something. So God's into extremes, and so we can see that with the extreme thinking, the problem is it usually means life or death in extreme thinking. You're kind of going for broke. It is time for us to push these boundaries of life into the supernatural realm. I think that as the Church of Jesus Christ, you can say, well, Alan, I thought I was extreme. No, you just thought you were extreme. I believe 2019 is going to be an extreme year.
Yes!
The enemy's going to be doing extremes. Don't think that he's going to be lukewarm. He's real. I know a lot of us like to pretend like it's not. Then we wake up in the morning and he's there. But we are, I believe in 2019 that things are going to get more extreme. They're going to ramp up fast. It is time for us to climb higher and drive faster in our lives. So, well, Alan, I'm wanting to slow down. Well, I'm sorry, Grandma jumped at 84. She got higher and she got faster. Some of the greatest wisdom and knowledge is after 70. It's not time to slow down. The greatest anointings can be after 70, after 60. It's the time to ramp it up and speed her up a little bit. Just hit the floorboard. Listen, you don't need to mess with an 84-year-old grandma. I'll tell you why. If she shoots you dead, she doesn't have much time in prison to worry about. Did you kind of get my point? That's not totally biblical, but you got it. Getting older is worth something. You ain't got as much to lose. I felt the Holy Spirit chuckle on that one. First time I ever heard the Holy Spirit chuckle right there at Wayne. And I don't even know where it comes from. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. Do you feel underqualified or overwhelmed? Now, here's what comes against our extreme faith. I mean, it's amazing to me that a fundamental Christian today is called an extremist. I'm like, what? You ain't seen nothing yet. Because I believe with all my heart that the anointing and the power is going to come over God's people so we can be guilty of being extreme Christians.
Amen. I agree.
I believe in 2019 we're going to see this taken to another level. You might be exactly where God wants you to be if you feel underqualified and overwhelmed. It's just amazing how humble that feeling will make you feel. When you feel like you're overwhelmed, you're underqualified. I've been in so many situations in my life, I'll go into a board meeting or into a church or something, and I'm sitting there thinking, I am so in over my head. I'm like, I mean, I milk cows, somebody. Has anybody told these people I'm a farmer? I'm in over my head. I was in one situation, they had more letters in front of their names than it took to spell my whole name. I'm like, what in the world was God thinking? Then I think, oh, is God even in it? But when we feel that way, it causes something within us. These moments force us to pray like everything depends on God. Are you with me there a little bit? It's a place that we feel. If you feel like you're overwhelmed and in over your head, great. That means that you're going to totally depend upon God. Now, there's this place of total dependence that things happen. Total dependence that things happen. Where do I think we're going in 2019? I'm going to call it extreme, but I'm going to call it extreme prayer. You didn't know that we could do something else with prayer, did you? I've been around it, people with extreme prayer, and they scare me. That's right. They do. Extreme prayer. Have you ever been around, is it just me, or has anybody been around people that does extreme prayer? I mean, they'd as well be high-diving with Jesus. Or motor crossing 50 feet in the air. Sometimes I think they are, the way they holler and carry on. But extreme prayer is an idea of the heart. The greatest tool that we have spiritually is prayer. It's free, it's right in front of us, but yet there's more to experience in prayer than we have experienced. If someone else is making you feel uncomfortable in prayer, it's probably because they've just experienced more than you have. Don't judge them. It'll come on you. It will. Good word, a little warning there. Extreme prayer. I want to tell you this little story of Honi. It's called The Legend of Honi, the Circle Maker. And if you ever heard, I'm sure a lot of you heard of the Talmud. The Talmud is kind of it's Jewish writings. You've got the Old Testament, and then the Jews of old wrote what's called the Talmud, and there they had a lot of other writings. And there was a prophet named Honi. It's documented in several different places of history. And he was known as a prophet of the Jews, but he was a little edgy. He was almost stoned dead one time because they said he was too persistent in prayer to God. They said when he prayed, he pushed the envelope too far. He said too much. He was too dramatic. And so yet, he made their writings, but they kind of kept him outside the camp. But they wrote about him. Nobody in the camp got wrote about, but Honi did. He was outside the camp. But he was a prophet of God. And what happened with him was I don't know if you can see that little picture. It's just a pencil drawing of it was depicting Honi there, and he has a stick. And the way this story goes in the Talmud, Honi, he had a stick, and he was out it was a lot of dust and dirt, desert-like, and he took that stick, and he went all the way around himself, and he made a circle. And Honi stood in the middle of that circle. You can see he took a stick, he went around himself. Now, things of the Spirit, we have a lot of things that are just symbolic, we say. The Lord's Supper, some of you, I'm sure, took today, communion. Those are symbols, and they're symbolic. But yet we do them as a symbol and a token. And for instance, if you have your child and your child runs up to you and says, "Mommy or Daddy, I love you," and you pick them up and you kiss them on the cheek. I mean, the kiss doesn't really transfer them any nutrients or it doesn't really do it. It's symbolic. But we see that that symbol transfers something to the child. It transfers that spirit. That's of the heart. Things of the Spirit are of the heart. So symbols are transference of spirit stuff, heart stuff. Why do you give somebody a Christmas card? I mean, come on, what are you going to do with it? Start a fire? Come on. You can't take it to Walmart, you can't redeem it unless they didn't sign it. So what are you going to do? It's a symbol. It transfers meaning of the heart. The other person gets it. Once they've read it, you can throw it away because it's been transferred. Are you with me? Symbols transfer things to the Spirit. So Honi, he drew a circle, he went around himself, created a symbol. Because he knew that that symbol would transfer something in the Spirit. When you do a symbol, it's your outer action that makes no sense, but it still conveys something. I don't know if you can see this little drawing or not, but that's Honi out there in the middle. Drew a circle around. These people are the Jews, and they were looking on him. They were calling him names, and then the priest of the day were telling Honey that he was totally over the top. He was out of his league, that he was pushing the envelope of being irreverent with God. And here's why they said that. Now, I put, well, I don't know if you can see it much better, but what's written down on the top of that, I wrote it at the bottom. Honey dropped to his knees, raised his hands to heaven with the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, and Honey called down rain. So what was happening was there was a drought in the land, been going on, people were starving to death out of water. Honey went out there and he drew a circle around himself, made a symbol, and he said, God, I'm not moving out of this circle till you send rain. Pretty bold, right? Bet Honey will dry up in that circle. What was going on? Honey threw it all in. He said, God, I'm not coming out of this circle till it rains. He said, I know I'm not asking amiss. I'm asking for what the people need. You can send it, and I'm praying till I see it. That's what Honey did. Now, that sounds bold. But if you're going to take it to the next level, you got to get pretty bold. So what I want to introduce to you today is the idea of 2019 being the year you draw the circle. Are you going to draw circles around your prayers, around your children, around your church, around your finances, around your life? What Honey did, he had something he needed to pray about and he drew a circle around it. It's a symbol. By drawing that circle, he said, God, I'm not going to quit praying until I see it rain. If you've got children that are away from God, draw a circle around them. Don't quit praying until it rains. That's how determined you are. To stop or to get outside of this. You see, when you draw a circle around it, you're hemmed up. You're hemmed up in the circle. When you draw a circle around something in prayer, like Honey, he made a commitment. He said, I'm not leaving the circle till I see it rain. It goes on the story, and with Honey, he was out there and they were laughing at him. Priest said, you get come out of that circle, we're going to stone you. I thought, well, if y'all was so big, why don't you go to the circle and stone him? But they didn't, none of that happened. Said, when he comes out of the circle, they's going to stone him. Well, it just so happens, guess what happened? It rained. Everybody was astonished. It started sprinkling a little bit. Honey's out there in the circle, is in the writings, and it says, Honey said, God, I need more. And said, all of a sudden, it started raining harder. Started raining so hard, about washed Honey out of the circle. He said, Honey hollered, God, that's too much. Can you pull her back a little bit? He said, it pulled back to just a steady rain. You can say, Alan, I don't believe that can happen. I do. Honey was in such a relationship with God that he talked straight and God talked straight. God does not want to be at a distance from us. Honey's persistency, he drew a circle. Now, it's just a symbol. There's nothing magic in a circle. It's a symbol. There's nothing magic in a wafer and juice. There's nothing magical in those things. But there's something happens when you make a move and then you symbolically do something showing God your intentions and your persistency and your dedication to what you're saying. That's what a prophet does. Is a prophetic people. Now let me move on here just a little. Corrie ten Boone said it like this. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Yeah, that one zinged me. History is silent about revivals that did not begin with prayer. Everybody knows who said that? Edwin Orr. To desire revival and at the same time neglect personal prayer is to wish one way and walk another. That was Tozer. Now watch this one. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Think about it. Yeah, the angel showed up, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. That's what Honey did. In other words, they drew a circle. What a circle does, you say, okay, God, I'm going to draw a circle around my job, and I'm going to pray for my job until you touch it and things change. I'm not going to stop. I am persistent. I don't care what is thrown at me. I'm in the circle. I'm in. That was Thomas Watson. Now watch this one. Has anybody ever heard of this man? George Mueller. I was trying to get a little more contemporary homie, if you will. Mueller was born in 1805, died in 1898. He was surely a circle maker. Faith does not operate in the realm of possible. You get it? There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. George Mueller. We see that you can read a lot of their books and writings, and they were in a place of, they had sat down for meals with no groceries or no food. He would pray, and it would show up at the door. And you say, well, Alan, that sounds like kind of pie in the sky story. No, they're true stories. Very, very, very true stories. It's amazing how many of these orphans that he fed and how many he looked after. And his call and his dependence upon God was, he said he always felt overwhelmed and underqualified. And it was there that surely Mueller, when he would pray for something, it was like he drew a circle, because when he prayed for it, he didn't quit. Let me show you a little something here. That's the first orphanage that they built. When they pay everything he built, when he got done, was paid for. Never borrowed a dime for it. God, and he did it all with prayer. He never asked for any. He prayed it in. Now, there's something there we can take note to. There's a difference in trying to import a revival in a church or your heart than there is in asking for it. He didn't campaign. He prayed. But that was his first orphanage. It's in Bristol, in England. There was the second one. They were really nice orphanages. There was the third. Now, the children that were the orphans in these houses came out of workhouses. They were children that were sold or runaways or the given away. People couldn't feed their children. So they'd have what they called workhouses. 7, 8, 10-year-old children in the workhouses. Mueller would get the children out of the workhouses and put them into his orphanages. That's number 4, I think. There's number 5, the biggest one. And they're all, it's like I say, still standing today. Mueller, right here's what he said. I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up. And the answers are always coming. Thousands and tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I am persuaded that a thing is right, and for the glory of God, I go on praying for it until the answer comes. So what is this message today? This message today is, I don't care how tired you are, be revived. This message is for you today. God says keep praying until you see it come. The enemy constantly tries to take our minds and convince us that prayer doesn't work. It's not going to happen. But you know when you've been given a God word and a God prayer. I want to go on just a little more in his life. He, at 70, he went on his missionary journeys. Now, come on, somebody. I told you weren't going to get no time off with me. I do not believe in retirement. I believe you just start at 70 to go on for your greater work with God. That the supernaturalness of his prayer, the supernatural things that happened, led people to faith in Christ. You see, our prayers are opportunity for the supernatural to happen. I mentioned this morning. Your prayers being answered is an opportunity for someone that's watching. In other words, there's more at stake than just your prayer being answered. God knows that others are watching. As others are watching, we are excited at answered prayer. But take note of those that are watching the miracle that just happened. Because God is going to answer your prayer, but it's usually for an audience. And because they see it, it brings them into faith in Christ. So God wants to answer your prayer. He wants you to draw a circle. He wants you to call to be persistent. Now, Mueller was persistent. Well, here's what R.A. Torrey said about Mueller. He said, when it was laid upon George Mueller's heart to pray for anything, he would search the Scriptures. Do you see that? To find if there was some promise that covered the case. Sometimes he would search the Scriptures for days before he presented his petition to God. And then, when he found the promise, with his open Bible before him, his finger upon that promise, he would plead that promise, and so he received what he asked. He also prayed with an open Bible before him. In other words, Mueller, he drew a circle around that verse. And he said, God, I'm going to pray it till I see it happen. I'm going to pray it. There's the promise. And I'm going to pray it till I see it happen. You know, it's an amazing thing how that the Scriptures are such a supernatural book. I want to show you a few verses here. For whom do I draw a circle around in prayer? All right, we see Mueller, a type of a honey. The other question is, do you want to be a type of a honey and a Mueller? Were they extra special? No. They might have been a little extra persistent. But we can ask ourselves, for whom do we draw a circle around? Well, give you a little clue. Here's something. I'll give you a few examples. Those that are in spiritual leadership. You can be of our country, be of our church. Now, here's the Scripture, like Mueller. Here's some Scripture of a promise. And he will yet deliver us, you also joining in helping us through your what? So, now watch it. So that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Did you know that the favor of God is prayed upon you by others? A lot of you, I know, wanted to earn it. I know you don't want to be need the body of Christ. But we need the body of Christ. Because here we see that the favor can be bestowed through prayer. So when somebody prays, we can see here is Scripture. It's written in Scripture. It's a promise. You say, well, Alan, can't I earn favor? I don't know. Go get you another Scripture. This one says that we can pray favor on each other. I think it's wonderful. And it says that through these prayers, many persons, look at it, thanks may be given. In other words, what he's saying is, if I pray favor on Ed, and as Ed walks into that favor, many other persons are going to see the favor of God. It's not about Ed having favor, it's about other people seeing the favor of God, and him always giving testimony unto the favor of God. Let's see what another one is. We can draw a circle for divine protection. Now, this is important, to draw a circle around you and your family for divine protection. Is it scriptural? 2 Thessalonians. Pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. You see that? It's prayer. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Draw a circle right there. Around your family, around your health, around your finances. Why do we... You say, well, Alan, that's a little extreme. You're exactly right. My point. Extreme prayer. Extreme faith. Here's another scripture. We want to draw for boldness to speak the truth. Now, this is going to be needed in 2019 as we move into extreme prayer and extreme life. Ephesians 6. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Lord, I ask this one right now. To make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So if you want to know how you ought to speak by virtue of the scriptures, you are to speak about the gospel boldly. That's what it says. Boldly do we speak that. Now watch this. You want to draw a circle around it when you're sick. Acts 28. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to see him after he had what? Prayed. He laid his hands on him and healed him. Sickness. We've got prayer circles up here. There's 1, 2, 3. There'll probably be 4 or 5. And today we want to pray for it. We don't pray for the sick. If you'll come draw it, get in this circle, let us draw a circle around you. That's what that circle is. We're going to pray for you. Because the Scripture, the promises of God, say we can. Now we want to pray for unity. It says this in John, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The key to evangelism is that we are one. We are one. Billy Graham, probably the greatest evangelist, but now he's gone. The church is to be one. And by that, the world will be evangelized. Why draw a circle? For guidance. Now, we really need this one. For some of you sitting in here today, you need to draw a circle around this in your life. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respect. You take that verse, draw a circle around, say, God, I want to walk where you want me to walk. You just draw a circle around that. Now, why? Now, this is a good one. I just throw this one. It's kind of a freebie. I'm sure you don't need it today, but it might be one day that you will need it. We want to draw a circle around this, and so we will forgive our enemies. Acts 7. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against me, them. Having said this, he fell asleep, or he died. Circle our enemies through forgiveness. When you draw a circle, you are not moved by evidence. Whatever we're drawing a circle around in prayer, we're not moved by evidence. Evidence does not always equal the truth, but the voice of the Holy Spirit does. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the truth. Circle drawers intercept things in the spirit world. Come on now. Don't go to sleep on me now. When you draw a circle, you are intercepting things in the spirit. In other words, your determination. It was not raining. Honey drew a circle. He was determined. That level of determination, you might not have it right now, but I dare you to ask God for it. When we intercept, we can change things. God Himself is looking for someone to draw a circle and to pray. Now look at this one. This is God. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Can God say that about us? Isaiah. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there were no intercessors, nobody to pray. God's looking for us to draw a circle, to be determined. God was looking for Honey. God was looking for Mueller. He's looking. Why did He answer their prayer? Because God was looking for them. God Himself seeks faithful prayer. Psalm 114:2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. Chronicles, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. If you want God strong on your behalf, who's He looking for? A heart that's loyal to Him. When you draw a circle, you stir yourself up. Now hear me on this one. When you draw a circle around your problem or whatever you want to pray for, you're to stir yourself up. You're not waiting for an answer to stir you up. You're stirring yourself up because you know the answer's coming. Here's the scripture, Isaiah. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Does anybody here believe you can stir yourself up in the Lord? Yeah. You can stir yourself up. To stir yourself. When you draw a circle, you're stirring yourself up for prayer. Now here's the characteristics of one who draws a circle. Isaiah, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, they shall never hold their peace day or night. Does y'all hear what he's saying? Yeah. They are not going to hold their peace. They're inside the circle, they ain't going nowhere. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give Him no rest. You see, Honey he had enough guts not to let God have any rest over it. Man said he was too bold. God said that He's looking for somebody that won't give Him any rest. You want to know what God wants? He wants you to keep bombarding Him with prayer. You say, well, Alan, why? I don't know. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give Him no rest till He establishes and till He makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's a long time. I'm done. Next week, there's a book here called Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. He's a pastor in Washington, D.C. This is a 40-day prayer devotional book. And for those of you who would like to enter in a little deeper and take this thing to the next level, next Sunday we're going to have you a free book out here in the foyer. That book. It's free. I just need one thing. I need your name on a piece of paper in the foyer. I got paper, I got pens. Let me say it again. If you want a book, I need your name. It's free, but it's going to cost you your life. Come on, y'all. It's too late anyway. It's too late anyway. You've already done it. God wins. We lose. Praise God. We lose and we win. We lose and we win. All right, you got your instruction. That book, sign up on your way out because I need a count of how many of these books to get. Please put it down if you want them so I can order them. They'll be here next Friday. This book can change 2019 for you. Just got a little section you read every day for 40 days. And when you get done for 40 days, I advise you to start it over. I'm on about the third leg. It'll change your life. This book was based off of Barson. He saw that little story of Honey, and he kind of built this book off of his life. And they started off in a little church. He started up there. I think it had 24 people, 28. For years, he's in Washington, D.C. I think they got 7 or 8 campuses now. You know how the story goes. And there was a particular crack house up there, and he prayed around. He drew a circle around that crack house. It was around a block. And he was praying for that crack house. He's praying for salvation, people being saved and all that. When he messed around, prayed the crack house in. They now have a church in it. He drew a circle around it. Not only did they get that building, they got about the whole block. Drew a circle around it. I forget how many times a week he'd walk around and just pray. Then he figured out and said, well, this thing's working. Old Homie had something going on there. He wrote a book about it, and he started walking around some more stuff, got another campus. I think the last campus, I think they've just gotten it opened up. They walked around it and prayed. Can you see that thing with about 1,000 people walking around a block in Washington, D.C. praying a circle around something? Did the circle, is it magical? No, but is the commitment? Yes. You want a book, sign the paper. It'll be here next week. It'll change your life for 2019. 2019 is the year of extreme prayer in the body of Christ. God's going to take us all to another level. Where we're praying at now is not good enough for 2019. We barely got through 2018. Got to have something fresh, God. Got to have a fresh impartation, a fresh anointing, a fresh revelation for 2019. Because I want to tell you something. The world is getting more extreme. It's going to take a more extreme Christian to live in this extreme world. Your faith does not get to diminish. It has to grow. Our boldness grows. I think that we'll see the day that people will come to Christianity because they've learned that if they come to Christ, they get healed. Or if you're sick, you better go down there to the church because down there people get healed. Why? Because we're extreme with our Savior. So let's stand. In my prayer this morning, I'm going to ask the prayer pod people, the prayer circle people, I'm going to call you, to come on up here, prayer circle people. And now listen, in these prayer circles, these people are drawing a circle around you. That means we're going to pray for you till we see it. They're going to write it down on a piece of paper. Don't use your names unless he asks you to, but they're going to write it down. Wednesday nights, we pray. If you come up here and get in these circles, we're going to pray with you till we see it. Everybody got that one? Now, 2019, it's going to get extreme around here. I hope y'all don't think we've been too loud and stuff, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Because I declare, Lord Jesus, that new life will be an extreme church for your kingdom in the year 2019. We pray, oh God, for these prayer circles. Pray for these prayer circles, oh God. Pray for these prayer circles, oh God. I need some more elders and prayer people over here. I've got two more circles I need equipped. Lord God, we pray for these circles. And I ask and pray, oh God, that if anyone's here with any type of illness, any type of sickness, any type of heart problems, any type of kidney problems, any type of blood problems, any type of fear because they've been given a prognosis, a diagnosis, I ask and pray, oh God, we want to circle that today and speak healing. Today, oh God, we want to pray for mental, physical healing, spiritual healing in these prayer circles today. So, Lord God, be with us as we sing and worship you. Karen's going to lead us in a worship song right now. If you want to come up for prayer or prayer pod, that's fine. If you just want to come up front, that's fine. You can sit right there, that's fine. If you come up here, you're acknowledging that we're going to make some circle. I'm going to make a circle around of you in faith and the Spirit. Just come on up and be at a prayer pod. I don't have anybody for the end one, but if you'll go on over there, I'll have an elder there shortly. Yeah, there they go. Okay, just come on up. Prayer pods are full. You can sit here on the front row, or you can just come on up here, and we'll circle you for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And I ask and pray, oh God, if there's anyone here that needs prayer today, that your Holy Spirit would stir their heart and they would not leave this place without that prayer. We thank you, oh God, for the trueness of your word. And Lord, you know our deal. If there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I pray it'll just fall to the ground. But if anything that I've said is of you and your Spirit, I pray that it'll be quickened to the hearts of men and women and children, that it will not return void. It will change hearts, change lives, that we might get on with the kingdom for 2019. Teach us, O God, extreme prayer. Teach us, O God, extreme Christianity. Teach us, O God, extreme grace. Teach us, O God, extreme love. I bless these people with a blessing of the kingdom, that they will go and be a mighty people with great authority and great grace to give to a hurting world, that these people could leave and go boldly and walk boldly because they know in whom they believeth. Let this day, O God, change lives forever is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.